Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for making the Scuttlebucks possible right here at JoeBucksFan.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, he loves the Bucks, but he loves his customers even more at family-owned Bill Curry Ford. Anything you need, reach out to Sean Sullivan directly, BillCurryFord.com. You can shop there, you can find his contact info, and you can just walk into their beautiful showroom 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. They'll even bring their service trucks to you and get the job done at your home.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN and Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go, coming off yet another Tampa Bay Buccaneers victory. This is the Scuttlebucks. All right. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Let's talk Buccaneers football. They are 2-1. Kind of slept their way through the second half of this one. Denver, impotent to do anything against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. We'll see if the Chargers comply. I don't think they will. A little worried about this game, Tom. I got to tell you that as we get set. A couple reasons why I'm worried. The Chargers are deceptively better than their 1-2 record says. If you just look at league rankings, they're sixth on offense and they're eighth on defense. They also run the ball pretty effectively. And, you can get a shortened game. We're going to struggle, I think, on offense because of all the injuries that we're going to document on today's show. So a lot of guys banged up, even guys that are starting like Evans is a guy that's not, in my mind, 100%, doesn't look 100%. Arians alluded to the fact last night on the NFL Network that he is not real sure Evans is healthy, 100% healthy. So you got some new guys in places and greater responsibilities than they've had before. I think, again, we're going to be relying on this defense. I do like that week in and week out now we're seeing the tight ends become the mismatch we thought they would be in this offense. They're going to be relied upon this week quite a bit. You're going to need your quarterback, a smart player with the football, to be smart again this week and kind of win field position battles, because I think the Chargers will find tough sledding against this Bucs defense. That's something you can fall back on every week now.
Yeah, so you get to watch this defense go against a rookie quarterback, and that could be fun. That could be a real fun proposition, because in a lot of circumstances, a quarterback without experience against an aggressive defense has no chance. However, in this case,
yeah.
After watching, I did in the 4 o'clock window have NFL Red Zone on opposite the Buccaneers game. Two TVs, man, in this day and age with all these sports.
Gotta have it, baby.
So Red Zone's on, and I'm catching a lot of the Chargers and Panthers game. And Justin Herbert is as close to, I know, close your ears if you don't like him, the Jameis Winston experience as you're going to get right now, because Jameis is on the sidelines in New Orleans. And what Herbert did in the couple hours that I watched that game, he made some of the most jaw-dropping throws I've seen, including one touchdown up the seam where mm-hmm. he creates time and space, and he fires an absolute 105-mile-per-hour pitch, the version of it in the NFL, for a strike and a score. And then he makes some of the most boneheaded throws and decisions you'll ever see, because that's what rookies do in the NFL. So I think there is a lot of splash and a lot of terrible coming from Justin Herbert this weekend, but it should be interesting because our defense plays with a lot of tenacity and speed. So you've got two gunslinger mentalities on both sides of the ball going at it.
6 sacks, 10 quarterback hits for the Bucs this past weekend. They mauled Driscoll, and really it got to a point where pressure in the second half, and they were busted. So I wonder with the Chargers, does that pressure do as much to Herbert as it did to Driscoll? Herbert, no doubt more talented, but also green. He is a better athlete, though. There's no questioning that. A much, much better athlete. So I am kind of curious to see where we go from here. He's going to be running around a lot. We've got the guys with the speed and the physicality to make him pay for that. But he'll make some plays with his legs and sustain some drives, and I think that's going to be somewhat frustrating for this Bucs defense.
So he's thrown for 3 Bills in both games he's played in, mm-hmm. One touchdown and one pick. So you could say maybe it's not the Jameis Winston experience, because only 2 picks for that many yards and that many attempts. But there's that clip from a couple weeks ago against Kansas City.
Yeah, boom.
Linebacker bounces right off him. I mean, he is strong. He's an athlete. And on like there are some throws he made in the first couple of weeks that you never saw at Oregon. He was never asked to make them. I didn't know he had them in him. That's probably why he still went fairly high in the draft, is because the workouts showed,
he's got a little fun, you know, a little fun in there.
But the good news is, at every level on this defense, there's a reason to smile.
And every week, buddy.
The number one thing that I looked to the ceiling and I was like, yes. When is the last time watching Buccaneers football you have been thoroughly enjoying safety play from two safeties? Not one, it's but
every,
both of them.
Yeah, and it's every week now I sit around thinking, what are they going to do next? Because they hit you, they're violent, but they play so smart and so fast. It's everything about good defensive football that you want to see. They're where they're supposed to be. They play responsible defense, and that guys are in their gaps. Guys do what they're supposed to do so other guys can clean up. They just really probably the best linebacker play in the league currently. I mean, that's saying something. I think that you can make an argument that's true for the Bucs.
If you're talking sideline to sideline, I don't think there's any question. And I get that Winfield plays in the nickel sometimes. Like, I get that he comes out of his position, and obviously Edwards is going to play a little bit more this weekend too because of shuffling in the back end of the secondary. But, I mean, when you just look at 31 and 33, Winfield and Whitehead, and the disregard they have for their own safety, like their own body's safety, they play to take you down, to hurt you, to inflict pain and intimidation. And when you have that coming from safeties who can still cover ground and coverage to go along with David and White in front of them, it's just ferocious to watch. And, man, we've been struggling up here in Tallahassee for years, Saturdays and Sundays, paired together, straight misery.
Yeah, especially for two guys that love football as much as we do, to have to sit and watch those two teams has been very, very difficult, especially because we have a passion for both. I do want to say, perspective, and I'll mention it throughout the show today, I think it's so cool that after, you know, the win against Denver 28-10 and the win against Carolina 31-17, we found ourselves doing something very similar, and that is complaining about what we saw from the Bucs over long stretches of the football game. And I bring this up just to bring up the point that, folks, it goes from 0-60 in a hurry, right? You have not been in a place where you could complain about the Bucs cruising to 2 and 3 score victories at any point, and then, yeah, well, great, but they didn't do this, and they didn't do that, and they didn't do this. Just think about where we're at. It has shifted tremendously to a place now where double-digit wins, double-score wins are things to be nitpicked about. And they should be, because you're trying to make a run at a Super Bowl. And if you view it through that prism, you're saying, hey, listen, we got to clean some things up. The offense has been inconsistent. You know, I get all that. But just pinch yourself. Just remind yourself every now and again that we're now rooting for a franchise that win games that they're supposed to win, for starters, do so handily, and we complain about them.
Well, and listen, there are plenty of examples of Super Bowl champion teams or first-round bye-level teams that maybe they didn't make it all the way to the Super Bowl, that you forget about week 3 or week 4 that they escaped with a 2-point win or a 3-point win. Like, you totally forget that in the NFL more than any other sport, because in college, style points still do matter within the framework of the college football playoff and the rankings and how those work. In the NFL, nobody remembers a week 2 or a week 3 result, except for diehard fans. However, yes, if you are aspiring towards maximizing everything you should be, potential-wise, offense, defense, I mean, the bingo card free spot every week for Buccaneers football is two things: fast and furious defensive play, and then we had a timeout after a timeout because we challenged off of it.
Bruce does that
right.
All the
so those
time.
Are two free spots on the bingo card every week. But yes, when you're judging towards aspiring to be the best there is across the league, then you have to judge it that way. And as Lightning fans, aren't we very used to that?
Yes. Judging it against the very best that there is in the game.
That's right.
And in this case, kicking down the door, winning that Stanley Cup championship. And then now that you bring home the cup, the run of 6 years is certainly framed in a very different window.
Maybe some of the magic fairy dust from Jeff Vinnick and that organization was left there, along with beer stains on the concourse of Raymond James Stadium after their celebration on Wednesday night.
Few things that concern me going into the game this week. Again, we start, and Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, is going to join us next. We'll get into the injuries, take a look. I know Godwin's not going to play. That's disconcerting. He is your most versatile wide receiver. He's also rugged. He brings a certain what for to the game every week. I love him. I can't say enough great things about him. You know, he's got great hands. He's tough. He blocks. He does all the little things. So not having him is a big damn deal. Evans being, you know, maybe 70% of what he can be is not ideal. If you lose the over-the-top threat in Scotty Miller, who's inconsistent, I know, but his wheels are a threat, you really are down to depending on some guys at the receiver position anyhow that you're not real comfortable with. And I don't know that you're going to be able to run the ball against the Chargers. We struggle to run the ball consistently anyhow. So you're really eliminating a lot of your offense here to the two tight ends and the backs out of the backfield, which will be LeSean McCoy. So I think it's going to be tough sledding. You're going to have to – I will appreciate any win the Bucs get this week. I know that the odds makers have it as a touchdown or more, but I look at this and go, I don't know, man. This has a problematic feel to it because of injury.
Yeah, I think it's context and travel. That's the only reason this number is as big as it is. It's in Tampa. They're going to have a limited – fans. I think it's family, friends, maybe corporate partners of some kind that are going to be in the building. But it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and the Chargers are playing at 10 a.m. on their body clock. And it's a rookie quarterback having to travel across the country and get used to the grind. You know, it's one thing to come in as an injury replacement or to start a game on no notice because somebody punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung. It's quite another to have to travel across the country. And I think one other context factor in this line is if you look at the Chargers injury list to the offensive line and other positions.
And you don't want that going against the Bucs defense.
It's
That's
a long list.
Fair. Yeah.
They've got a really long one themselves. For us, it's the skill players. For them, they've got some potential issues in the trenches.
Well, and that's not good because the Bucs are deep and they're strong and they're quick off the edge. They're a lot of things. So I think that's problematic, obviously, for the Chargers. Look, I like the Bucs to win. I'll let the cat out of the bag early in the first segment here. I like the Bucs to win the game. I just think it's going to be arduous. I think it's going to be tough sledding. I think it's going to be a field position game.
Well, and this is where if you're crafty and opportunistic on short fields and you've got the veteran quarterback, that's the kind of game he wins, right? Where you just got to manage it correctly.
Yeah, well,
this is a game manager's,
that guy.
Unless we win first down running the football, which would be an unexpected victory. We've been trying for God knows, you know, every first down we get, but maybe we can establish the run a little bit this week.
If you're less predictable in the pattern with which you run the ball, you ought to have success. And I'll tell you why. Wirfs is a strong, strong man in the run game. He gets his hands on people that are in trouble. Marpet is playing like a man possessed right now. Jensen's a good player. You should be able to run the ball in the interior.
You should. But that said, against a group that included somebody who was called up from the practice squad for Denver last week. And I know altitude might have something to do with it, you know, in a 1 week span. It just, the flow of a game, you might get tired a little bit more quickly, but still, I mean, come on, guys. That was an inconsistent effort out of the offensive line against the Broncos, so it's at least something to watch. And with Joey Bosa on the field, you're looking at Donovan, you're looking at Wirfs and saying, all right, guys, can you handle your own?
I'm looking at Donovan more than I'm looking at anybody else. I'll say that. I would also note here, this may be a big, 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 big afternoon for O.J. Howard. It really should be. Now that Gronk has, you know, removed his feet from the quicksand and looks like a football player again, you've got a threat with both these tight ends. That was the most exciting aspect of the offense this past game, was seeing the emergence of Gronk. I was critical of him last week. Again, it's good to see him moving in a way that resembles something of what he was.
I have a feeling that there's going to be over, so if I said the number at 1.5, there's going to be over the amount of Brady meltdowns on players. I think this is one of those weekends where you need guys to be locked the hell in. Mm. There was a moment last week where OJ ran, he broke in at a different depth than Tom was looking for, and he was less than pleased. I feel a meltdown coming because this is, you got to be greater than the sum of your parts if you're not healthy on offense this week. So that's where the guy steps in and probably those antics, and Fox can't wait to show that to you, or might be CBS who has the game this weekend,
well,
whoever.
Whatever they do to immortalize him, that's fine, but it's going to be necessary, Tom. This is stuff we wanted to see from our previous quarterback.
That's
correct. Is guys getting, you know, yelled at and held responsible. You know, you got to do that, held accountable, I should say. All right, Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. He's going to join us next on the Scuttlebucks.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
With the Bucs doing what they were supposed to do this past weekend, we get a chance to talk to our friend Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, about the winning ways and some of the highlights and some of the concerns as they get set to take on the Chargers. And those concerns certainly would center around the number of injuries the Bucs are dealing with. I'll ask Lee DeKemper that, amongst other things, right now. Lee, how are you, brother?
Jeff, how's it going, man? Things are giddy for Bucs fans. First place Bucs. I know it's only week three, or we're entering week four, but when is the last time Bucs fans could beat their chest and brag about being sole possession of first place in the division? My gosh.
First place Bucs. What a time to be in Tampa. I mean, the considerable
what a time
buzz.
To be alive, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, the Rays take care of business and who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've owned the Yankees, so knock on wood, that will continue. But, you know, when you look ahead to their potential of winning a World Series, perhaps, of course, we just see the Lightning take care of business. And the Bucks are, mm-hmm. I don't know, one of the seven or eight teams you would say has a shot to make a deep run and maybe even do a Super Bowl. People in Tampa have got to be downright giddy.
Yeah, it's people don't know what to do with themselves. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, you would think a baseball team that's doing well in the playoffs, that has had recent success, would, you know, the town would be going nuts about the Rays. But yet they're number, if you think about it, they may be number three. You know, Lightning, of course, they just won the Stanley Cup. Lightning are popular here. The Bucks, no one's ever going to overcome the Bucks. Even when the Rays were in the World Series and the Bucks stunk out loud, the Bucks were still clear number one. So it's odd. And that's not a knock on the Tampa Bay area. That's just, you know, how popular the Bucks are and the Lightning are.
Well, yeah, great ownership with the Lightning. He's done so much in the community, and then they've been really, really consistently great. So that, you know, you win a lot, that helps. Let's get to this Bucks team, speaking of which. Now, all of us thought the Bucks would win and win comfortably, and they did. It really became kind of a rocking chair game in the second half. They weren't consistently great up front, and they left some points on the field, Brady missing opportunities, especially to Gronk, who I criticized last week, but now will retract some because his feet were out of the quicksand, and he looked good in this game. He looked like a guy who was maybe getting acclimated to football again. I'm happy to be wrong about that. He has a couple of plays where he runs through linebackers and runs away afterwards, so you realize maybe it just takes him a while or it took him a while to get back into football shape. Let's hope that's the case, because the first thing I'm going to ask you is, who are the Bucks' weapons this week? Injury concerns litter the offense, whether it's obviously Godwin being out. Evans still doesn't look good to me. I know he scored twice, but didn't do really anything else on any normal routes. I mean, he's just a big target down there inside the red zone. Scotty Miller may be out. We don't know. Fournette is banged up. I mean, a lot of concerns with the offense going into this week's game.
Jeff, you may have set me up for an answer like I've never been set up before. I mean, I don't know which way to go. It's like, you know, you hear the proverbial, you come to a T intersection. Well, I've come to like a W intersection, man. I go all sorts of ways. So, thank you. I'll try to go through this real quick. Injuries are a concern, clearly. Godwin, it looks like he's out. I mean, Arians all but declared him out when he was on SiriusXM radio last night, NFL radio. The Gronk, or I'll get to Evans. Evans, and Arians has never spoken about this that I can recall with Tampa media. He said last night on NFL radio that Evans still isn't 100%. Now, he also added that he and his coaching staff need to do a better job getting him open, moving him around. That was the specific phrase, moving him around. Arians said that Denver clearly double-teamed him almost every play last week. And he said specifically that is why the tight ends were open, including over the middle, including the Gronk. Because the Broncos specifically were concerned about Evans. They were going to take their chances with Gronk. They're going to take their chances with O.J. Howard. They're going to take their chances with Scotty Miller. They knew they couldn't take their chances with Evans, even if Evans may not have been 100%. They were going to take him out, and they did just that. And then Arians is a good one-liner. Arians added, the only time Evans was open was on the 1-yard line, and Tom Brady hit him. Which, you know, that's by the way, that's a great average. Two touchdowns, 2 yards receiving.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I actually continued to be concerned afterwards. I was telling, and I, it's funny, I have Evans in my fantasy league, and we're not going to talk fantasy. Everybody's got a fantasy team. But I was like, okay, if you're going to have 2 catches for 2 yards, at least have them be touchdowns. I'll take that. I get by.
Yeah.
But I'm really concerned as I watch him. I just don't think he looks healthy.
Well, Arians did say he's not yet 100%. So I thought that was very interesting. But he also added, as soon as he said that last night, he also added that the coaching staff, he included himself, they need to do a better job scheming him open, which I'm great to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that, you know, that's an open admission. You know, it's almost like going to therapy. You have to admit something before you know there's an issue to deal with. Well, Arians admitted publicly, like, you know, I need to do a better job getting him open. So that was great to hear. Now, about Gronk, I know Arians has never talked about this before. Gronk said last night that, or excuse me, Arians said last night on NFL radio that Gronk finally is starting to get into game shape. And we always think of the rookies, like, you know, no offseason because of the virus, that really hurt the rookies. And I'm sure it has. But I didn't think of, you know, Gronk needing that offseason as well, because obviously he was away from football for a year. So he needed that offseason as well to get acclimated back to the NFL, the rigors of the NFL. And sure enough, that's the case. And as you pointed out, Gronk is starting to look like the old Gronk now. And I think it was Chris Sims that said it looked like he was running in lava previously. He did look very slow. But now he's starting to look like the old Gronk. So that's very encouraging, especially with all these nicked up receivers the Bucs are having. They're collecting all these injuries, that Gronk is starting to look like the old Gronk. And that's really refreshing to learn.
Let me ask you, your assessment and others that you can tell from, you know, obviously covering the team and what coaches have said, where are you at with Tom Brady right now?
I'm like you. I'm not satisfied yet. I still look like, he still looks rugged. I don't know if rugged's the right word, but rough. It's not smooth. It just doesn't look smooth. Now, after the game Sunday, after they beat the Broncos, the second half especially, I thought the offense looked terrible. And I wrote a story after the game, Sunday night. I wrote a story like, there's no way this team can be expected to make the playoffs or do anything in the playoffs if they are that sloppy on offense like the Bucs were in the second half against a beat-up, subpar Broncos team. And I had, every once in a while, a commenter or a reader has a great comeback. Not to start a fight or anything, but a good observation. And a reader said, well, think about this. The Broncos, with better clock management, may very well have beaten the Titans to open the season on Monday Night Football. And that's correct. I watched the game. That's correct. Vic Fangio butchered the clock management in the final minute when the Broncos had the ball. The Broncos, even with a backup quarterback, Jeff Driscoll, were a one-score game with the Steelers. The Steelers are obviously one of the better teams in the NFL. The Bucs are the first team to beat the Broncos by more than one score, and they owned much of the game. They owned them. So the guy said, think about this. Maybe the Broncos aren't near as bad as what people are saying they are, and it's actually a good thing that the Bucs beat this team the way they did. That's the first time the Broncos ever got slapped around yet this season, and they did play two very good teams previously. So, you know, I thought that was a very good observation, and the following morning, Monday morning, I kind of took a step back, and I wrote, you know, I think this guy is on the right path. This guy, you know, he didn't slap me around, but he kind of corrected me. Like, you know, look at it in a different prism. And so maybe even though I'll be the first to admit, I thought Brady and the offense looked sloppy as can be the second half. It was almost like they mailed the game in at halftime. I'm like, we don't have to worry about anything. The defense will take over. Next thing you know, it's a 2-score game with like 10 minutes to go in a game. And so maybe the Broncos are just really better than what a lot of people are giving them credit for, or lack of credit for.
They might have been. They're not anymore. They're so injury-riddled. They've got injuries at every level. They're not going to be any good the rest of the year, and it's an ugly situation. I think the Bucs put them out of their misery. They were game, and they continue to lose. they continue to lose guys, so it's going to be tough. I would say that your assessment, you know, these things can be true. Both of them can be true, right? That maybe you can look at the Bucks through a different prism and say it's nice to complain about a win on the road by, you know, 18 points. It's nice to be able to sit there and look at the Bucks and be critical of a laugher. It's not often that we were able to do that as Bucks fans, and that tells you that the expectations for what the Bucks can be and what they are have changed, and considerably so, and rightfully so. You didn't bring in Tom Brady and Gronk and make the moves that you did in the draft and in free agency because you know were hoping to make the playoffs. You did it because you want to make a run to the Super Bowl. So you can simultaneously say the Bucks have shifted the way we are allowed to view them. We can be critical of a team that wins by 3 touchdowns because we are expecting more. We're expecting them to go to the Super Bowl, and yet acknowledge it's nice, rarefied air that you're in when you're able to do that as a Bucks fan.
The last 12 years, that's very rarefied air around here, Jeff. Very rarefied air.
I know.
So I still think Bucks fans as a whole are still suffering from the lingering effects of PTSD.
PTSD, just, oh, okay, I thought you were going to give me a different...
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
No, I know what it is.
Because kicked in the groin so often, week after week after week, year after year after year, with awful football. The Bucks fans suffer from that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and a lot of that is left over from the stuff that happened post-1979. You know, you've got people that have lived down there for a long time and just watched, you know, hopeless season after hopeless season before the magic hit in the early 2000s. But last thing here, there is a bright spot every week that we watch this team, and it's the defense. And Antoine Winfield gets Rookie of the Month, and he's been just such a fun guy to watch play football. He's physical. He's fast. There are so many reasons to get excited about the way we play defense. And you just hold your breath that you stay healthy. I know they're not completely healthy, especially not a corner. But, boy, if you can stay healthy, this group is very talented at every level.
Well, what's interesting is Peter Schrager mentioned this morning on NFL Network. Mike Edwards, who's now probably going to start with Sean Murphy Bunting, expected to be out Sunday, he's the oldest guy in secondary. He's 24. He's the oldest guy. He's a backup. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting observation. I didn't think of that before. Like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, and I don't know if we spoke about this before. I'm sure we have. Man, Winfield, the way he blitzes and the way he plays near the line of scrimmage, it looks like reincarnation of Rondé Barber. It really does.
It's funny you brought it up just last week, and then we go out there and we see him get a sack in this game early, and I am reminded of that. You're right. It is crazy to think that you have another Rondé Barber, maybe even a more physical Rondé Barber. Lee, it's always a pleasure. Be well, sir.
Thanks again, Jeff. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. You know, the Bucks are funny because they're going to – you look at it from a schedule standpoint. The Bucks should have a pretty nice record in the next few weeks or so. I'm not going to automatically, as we talked about before Lee came on, this week is dicey. There's some problematic matchups for us with some guys out that I worry about. I think this might be, if the Bucks win, I think it's going to be an ugly win.
Well, yeah, it's just the fear of Bosa. Like, listen, the Chargers only have 6 sacks on the year. They're averaging 2 a game evenly, 2-2-2. But Bosa has 3 of them. And he's got 6 quarterback hits. And you're just thinking back to what are the principal weaknesses on this offense. And you're looking at Donovan Smith, and then maybe the inconsistencies of Tristan Wirfs. I know Tristan had an amazing debut, and the film from that is awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, go back and look for the film of him against Cam Jordan. And it's a lot of fun. But the Denver Broncos defensive line did make this offensive line look foolish in a lot of instances, beyond just the holding calls. Hits to the quarterback, plays made at the line of scrimmage, around the line of scrimmage, or on our side of the line of scrimmage. So, you know, you're traveling from altitude back home. I get that the Chargers were on the West Coast, so they've got to travel across the country too, so there's not that big of an advantage. Also, the Chargers' body clock is at 10 a.m., and that's not nothing in the NFL. I got so tired for so many years of us always playing a West Coast team in Tampa on their own time. That's such garbage. Now we play them at 1 o'clock, which is good, but still, if you're looking for ways for the Chargers to win this game, the first place you start is with their pass rush. You know, because we don't like to leave extra guys in. That's what this offense is.
Yeah, I worry about the game because also who are you throwing to? Evans is guardable, pretty easily guardable these days. I'm going to allow for the fact that I think he is hurt.
Yeah, but that's still you're running out there.
It's still
a
problem. Yeah. You're going to run him out there. Godwin is your most dependable and multiple, if you will, because he does so many things so well. And he's tough receiver, and he's not going to play. You're going to lose a burner if Scotty Miller doesn't play, and if even he does play, he's not healthy. Fournette is banged up. There's reason to be concerned. I mean, we know that the difference between good teams and bad teams in this league is really just a few plays or people away from evening.
Right. And you could see this being a low scoring game because the Chargers were in a low scoring war with the Chiefs just a couple of weeks ago. And I get that the Chiefs might be going through the motions a little bit. They certainly didn't this past Monday night, but still, I mean, you know, the Chargers run defense is 11th in the league. So they're in the top half of the league. And we really love to be very transparent about running the ball on first down. Drives me freaking nuts. Yep. But I think you're only going to do that more if you don't have the weapons this week. Hopefully we come out of that and self-scout and play against it. But, yeah, if you're in 2nd and 9 or 2nd and 10 because you can't get a push on 1st and 10, well, the likelihood that you're going to be in 3rd and long and you're bringing Bosa into the equation is high.
I'd throw in 1st down, and I would really utilize O.J. Howard, who's a mismatch. You can utilize your tight ends again here big time. That seems to be something that most teams are going to struggle against. You got, especially now if Gronk's going to run.
Yeah. Given the way Brady has, and this is dependent on his weapons too. This is like what he was given and the pieces he had to work with. But if you're telling me that most of the receivers for Tampa are out or not 100%, which is, I mean, that's just going to be the case. At very minimum, they're not 100%. It's tight ends, and it's probably Shady McCoy. I mean, honestly, if you're thinking about distribution of passes and targets.
Okay.
Right. It's like, can you get me to 17 or 20?
What's the under in this game, Tom? I'm going to have to look at that number here as we move it along. Bill Curry, Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, I should say, does not mess around when it comes to his love for the Bucs fans and the Buccaneers as a franchise. He will help you personally by phone, email, or inside the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan will give you a Scuttlebucks/Joe Bucs fan discount. He will truly do everything he can to help you at Bill Curry Ford. Everything. That's the family service you can expect from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Get shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. That's BillCurryFord.com. And forever holly, when we see cops.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
I guess we get to that place now where you got to make a pick, and I'm going to pick the Bucs. A lot of that has to do with the fact that you got a rookie quarterback going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I'm not picking the Bucs this week because of anything I think is going to happen good for them on offense. I'm not real sure a lot of good's going to happen for Tampa Bay on offense. If you are hoping this is the week where it hums for 4 quarters and you say, okay, that's a complete effort, everything – they're too injury-riddled at receiver to really be able to do that. I mean, hell, Evans, I think, plays right now at 70%. Now, the Chargers run mostly zone. He's going to have some space, but I don't think you're hitting anything big over the top. So, you know, you don't have a lot of speed to lift the lid. So that's going to shorten the game. And
yeah.
I really do think this is a tight end game and a screen pass game, and then you just play good defense on the rookie.
Yeah, because even Watson, who is healthy this week, is going to be a possession guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tyler Johnson is. They love him, but he missed an awful lot of camp and acclimation when it comes to learning the offense and the ins and outs. So I don't know how many plays he's capable of running in the route tree or system-wise, formation-wise. It's hard to find a lot of points. Because we don't believe we can run the ball consistently, right? So if that's out, then you're looking for short fields. But the good news is we can probably generate one or two short fields in this game.
Probably. I think every week I love watching what they're doing across the board on defense. There's just, you know, you're not going to see better play at linebacker in the entire National Football League right now than what you're getting in Tampa. It's every week you watch the games and you go, they take control of the games.
But here's the thing, and this is the nuance of Brady and the fun that it is to watch Tom Brady play, because I get that the defense is going to be the headliner for a while, and it should be. It really should be. They're as beautiful to watch as those uniforms are on the Buccaneers players.
Boy, what a great start to the year, man, because you're winning games you're supposed to win. We sit around and we're critical after blowing a team out on the road. And our uniforms are the best in football. My goodness gracious.
But the weapon of complimentary football, especially with a defense like that, is if you get a couple of first downs off a touchback, right? Opening kickoff, position. Whatever. You're at the 40 or 45 yard line. If you stall, you pin him inside the 10, that's aspirational.
Yeah, inside the 20.
Inside the 20, right around 17, 18 yard line, right? First and 10. That's a weapon. Because now your defense can go pin its ears back and go to work, get downhill, make plays, and give you the ball back again with great leverage. And eventually, at that point, you're going to wear them down. There's 7 points right there at some point. And you do it again. I mean, it's just that's where Brady's magic is, at least for right now, because it's not lighting up the scoreboard, is first and 20. We're backed up. Let's get it to third or fourth and manageable, win field position, and play to the fact that we have an elite defense.
I commented to you earlier this week on the Jeff Cameron Show, weekdays, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m., 97.9 ESPN Radio, that I marvel at how frequently it's third and four or less in Tampa these days. It's an area he's so much better than Jameis was. He's not always looking for the big play. He understands situationally, like you're talking about, hey, it's second and 14. We need to get this to third and five. And you know what? There's not going to be – I have a low percentage play down the seams. I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to swing it out here, let my guy run with the football. They'll come up and tackle him. It'll be third and manageable.
Yeah, I don't know how intentional it even is to look down the field beyond any other purpose than to clear it out.
He does it to clear it out.
Look down the field, and you're wondering, are you going to cut it loose? And chances are he's just doing that to take the safeties or the mid-level defenders down with whoever's running up the seam or whoever's running outside the numbers so that Fournette can catch the ball or Ronald Jones can catch the ball or Shady.
Yeah, he does it for that reason, and he does it to catch you in a mistake. If somebody blows a coverage, you don't want to not hit it. So he's smart enough to look it over, take a cursory glance, get you off your spot, and then now we're going to throw underneath.
It is nice to know that he still has seeds left in the arm, though.
Yeah, it's there.
The throw to Miller that's like right in his damn breadbasket over the defender. That's okay. All right. Yeah. At least put that on film. I don't know if you've got 5 of those a game, 10 of them if you wanted to, if we're in a shootout, or if you got 2. I don't care. Just put it on film so that, you know, with Jameis it was, go ahead, beat us deep. That's what they did until last year.
Right.
He didn't fix it until whatever it was, the second month of last season. They said, go ahead. Yeah, you can throw it to Deshaun. We know what's going to happen. Incomplete, 2nd and 10. With Brady, all right, put that on film. Give him something to think about, because then it makes those underneath quick throws and mesh routes and concepts, all of them, easier to complete.
It's early in the year, but I am not finding myself questioning arm strength with Brady right now. I've seen too many good throws, too many tough throws down the seam, too many moments where he's let it go, and I'm like, it's there. It's there when he needs it. He's got touch, too. Of course, he's always had that. But I question accuracy right now. He's missing more than he's – it's not arm strength. You know, like when we watch Drew Brees in New Orleans, you're like, this is galling. The arm strength is gone. You don't say that about Tom Brady.
No, you don't. But that was one of the things where Schlereth caught himself, I think, where he's like, well, they've got to get their timing down. Gronk and Brady, like, no, they have tacit timing, dude.
He just missed him.
He missed Godwin.
You're allowed to criticize Tom Brady. It's okay in a game, if you're a color analyst, to say, well, he just missed a wide-open touchdown there. That's unfortunate because it doesn't get more open than that. That's what happened. He missed him. He threw him out of the back of the end zone. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Guy's finally running full speed, and you miss him completely. But, listen, I'd rather have that complaint right now than if I was worried about the arm strength. Not worried about the arm strength. I like the Bucs to win the game in a low-scoring game. You know, listen, if you're a sporting guy or a gal, maybe look at the under here.
So, Herbert can provide and present some danger. It's just that, you know, this isn't the defense of yesteryear. This is the current defense. Our current Bucs defense is good at every level.
Well, and when they bring pressure, you watch people wilt.
And so I figure it's going to be a close game. And here are some things that are just fundamentally different in close games with Tampa Bay 2020. Number one, you like your defense to close it out, get the pass rush, or generate pressure through bringing 5 or 6 if they need to. That's in their nature. Wonderful. You've got a veteran quarterback who's likely not going to make the mistake. Week one wasn't great for Tom Brady, but I think, you know, on the whole, he's probably not going to make the mistake. You're facing a quarterback that's a rookie, and then also you've got a kicker that from inside of 45 yards, knock on wood, looks like he's going to
do his
job.
Don't bring it up, Tom. Don't bring it up.
Knock on wood.
By the way, there should have been a penalty call on the blocked extra point.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they blew that. I mean.
Oh, well, the leap?
Yeah.
He didn't touch the long snapper.
They
though.
Went back in though and said that their defensive lineman grabbed the guy's arm.
Oh, after did he?
It's illegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even the NFL admitted it's illegal.
I was just looking at the Cam Chancellor element of the play, and it didn't look like there was contact. At that point, there's an automatic penalty. But it looks like that guy, knock on wood, would do his job. So all of those elements put together in a close game means chances are we're gonna win. Now if it's a good romp, you know, 10-17 point win. Then it gets kind of fun.
The avenue to get to a romp is forcing the kid to throw into, you know, mistakes. You could do that. Because when you watched, they were frustrated with the touchdown they gave up at the end of the half because they went into zone and they gave up big plays. So they never really did it again. And from that point forward, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to do the opposite. I'm going to bring somebody every time. And we've got guys that get home. They're physical and they're fast to the spot. They get home or they blow it up. And you know, now you're scrambling for your life. How many times did you see Driscoll, like, just almost cowering, knowing I got nowhere to go? So you do that to Herbert.
Yeah, you'll test his mettle. And I think, listen, Driscoll, you saw the difference between he and Bridgewater. Yeah. I really admire what's going on in Carolina. They're a pound-for-pound team.
They're not a contender. They're playing hard.
They play their asses off.
Yeah, yeah.
They're well-coached, and they've got a really tough quarterback who's willing to trade punishment for big plays down the field. We'll see if Herbert's got it in him, but
strong dude now.
He's going to make some plays, and it's going to be fun to watch a really good defense go against a bit of a gunslinger because that's what he is early on in his career.
He is. All right, we're both taking the Bucs in a closer-than-expected football game, and I think we're both on the under there if that's your cup of tea for those listening to the
turnovers can change everything, of course.
Well, of course. I mean, listen, it's just a suggestion. Good work out of you, sir. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring, and Lee DeKemper and JoeBucksFan.com as well. We'll talk to you again next week, hopefully after yet another Buccaneer victory.
It'll be on a game day, too, Thursday.
Boom.
Short week.
All right. Not usually in love with short weeks, but I do like doing a show on the day of the game, so we'll do that. We'll talk to you then. Go Bucks.